First Chronicles, if you would, this evening. First Chronicles, chapter number 29. First Chronicles, chapter number 29. I want to just lay out some things. We have a lot of things that are coming up here in the next several months. And tonight, I just want to use First Chronicles here to lay out a plan. And I hope that'll be helpful to us and encourage us this evening and give you some things I want you to pray about, some things that'll be upcoming here in the next several months. I want you to be praying and planning, if you would please, that the Lord bless. How many of you are ready for spring to get here? How many of you are ready for winter to get here, really, I guess? It is going to skip us prayerfully here. I know when we moved here, people were warning us, saying, boy, we have had the two worst winters in a long, long time, and warning us with the snow. And we brought the Georgia winter up with us. And I can't guarantee that I can help you with this next year, but I'm glad we could help this year with this winter. The Lord's been good to us, and I'm excited about the spring as well, not just because of the weather, but I'm excited just about what some things that we've got planned and things I believe that'll help us as a church. And I want to give you some of those things here this evening and have you be praying for those events. First Chronicles chapter 29. We find where David is at the place where David desires to build a temple, but God would not allow David to build a temple. God said that David's hands were bloody. He was a bloody man. He was not willing for David to build the temple, but he told David that he'd allow a son to build this temple. And David, we find in 1 Chronicles 29, in verse number 1, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things to be made of silver. And for brass, for the things of brass, iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stone and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy house. He goes on to tell us some things that he prepared and verse number 6, if you would, please. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and all the captains of thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and the silver 10,000 talents and brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure, the house of the Lord, by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced, in verse number 9, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our fathers forever and ever. I want us to lay out a few things here in 1 Chronicles, and then I want to give you some things to pray about. And here we find there's a plan that David has set in order. David cannot build the temple, but one thing we find here in chapter number 29, that David is willing to supply the things that are necessary so that the temple could be built. David had a great desire to see the temple built, and when David was told that that could not happen, that his son Solomon would build it, we find that David, through these verses, began to prepare and plan for this temple. He set things aside, the Bible says, and gold and silver, things that he set aside himself above and beyond even what he was setting aside that belonged to Israel for this place. But he says in verse number 1, in verse 1, he says that he is going to give this to Solomon, and the Lord's chosen Solomon, and he reminds the people that Solomon is young and tender, and the work is great, and that this isn't for Solomon, though, this is for the Lord. Now, we refer to this temple as Solomon's temple, but the reality is this. It wasn't a man's temple. It wasn't a man's palace. It was God's. And this temple was built, and the reason for it to be built was so that the glory of the Lord could come down and the people could worship the one and only true God here in Israel. And so we find here that this plan is set, that the plan is given to the people, and the preparation is made. And I want us to see, in order for us to see great success, in order for us to see God working in a place, I believe this, as David began to put a plan in place, I believe this, in order for a church to see what we want to see God do, a plan must be set. There's got to be a plan. There's got to be something set in place so that people understand what is happening, so people can get involved in the work of the Lord. And David understands that, and he gives this plan and lays it out so that the people of Israel can worship the Lord and this temple can be set. We find in verse number 1, though, that David is referring to this, that the work is going to be great. He says that Solomon is young and tender and that this work is great. And it wasn't the fact that he didn't think that Solomon could do it. I think that David just wanted to be a part of what God was going to do. I think it's a commendable thing for David. David realized this, it was not going to be done in his lifetime, but David wanted to be a part of whatever God was going to be a part of. And David then willingly set a plan in place. But he tells the people here that the work is going to be great. And I would submit this to you tonight. Any time that God is going to do a work, and any time that a church is going to set out to glorify the Lord, it is going to take great work. I believe this, if we're going to serve a great God, then we ought to do a great work for Him. I don't think God desires for us to just kind of come in and not have a plan and just come in and just play church. I believe if we're going to do something great for God, then we need to recognize this, that the work is going to be great. It's not always going to be easy. There's going to be work to do. There's going to be trials that are going to come, and there's going to be a cost. We find this throughout the first several verses of chapter number 29. He tells us the amount of gold, the amount of silver, the amount of precious stones that was going to go to this work. In order to do something for God, there's going to be a cost. The work is going to be great. The trials are going to be great. The cost is going to be there. You know what else, church? I believe this. In order for us to do something great for God, there's going to be sacrifice that has to be done. Now, I know that this portion of Scripture is referring necessarily to the stones and the silver and the gold, but there is going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be an involvement. We're going to see here in just a few minutes, there's going to be an involvement that has to take place. There's going to be trials. There's going to be a cost. There's going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be a willingness to give. There's going to be a willingness of God's people to get behind the work of the Lord, the plan that's laid out, and get behind it and give to that work. I used to read a lot more than I do now, and I want to get back to reading as much as I used to, just need a little bit more time maybe, but I love to read about what God has done in the past. How many of you have read about revivals in yesteryear and things of that sort? Boy, I read those types of things, and my spirit yearns for those types of days. And I know they say that we might not see the days of revival like that in the past, and I know those things are said, but I guess there's a part of me that just doesn't believe that that's necessarily true. I believe that God can still bless. I believe that churches can still rise up and build. I believe that the work of God can continue to go on. I believe that people can still be saved. I believe that we could see God work. I believe miracles can still happen. And I pray you do as well. But as I read about those revivals and read about what God has done in the past, you know what? I also find that there's a willingness of people, God's people, to pray. There's a willingness of God's people to give. There's a willingness of God's people to sacrifice. And we find here that David is warning and telling the people that the work is great. That there is a great work to do, and it's going to require a lot. So I believe this, if we're going to do something for God, we need to realize and understand there is going to be a cost to it. The work is going to be great. In verse number 1, we also find this, that the place is not for man, though it's for God. And I believe that allows us to see that the work may be great, but it's worth it because who the work is for. We need to understand and realize this. When we get involved in the church, we get involved in the work of the Lord. We're not doing that work for man. We are doing that work for God. And God is worthy of our sacrifice. God is worthy of our work. God is worthy of us giving of ourselves for His work. And I thought it interesting here as David is laying out a plan here for the temple to be built. He mentions that Solomon is going to be his son, and Solomon is the one that God has chosen. But he reminds the people that we're not working and we're not building for man. We are working and we're going to build for God. And church, I believe this, that we ought to always keep that in focus and always keep that in mind as we're laboring, as we're working, that our work is always for God. You see, at times, if we're not careful and we work for man, if times we're not careful and we put our eyes on man, we can get discouraged. Man will always let us down, but God is always faithful. Man might cause us to be discouraged, and man might not do it the way that we always think it may be done, but we need to keep our mind and our focus on God and realize this, the work of the Lord is for the Lord, not man. I'm always encouraged on Sundays when our morning service is through. I'm always encouraged by the amount of people it takes to serve here at this church. Sunday school teachers and choir members and those that are practicing for special music and teen workers and nursery workers and all the things, the greeters and the ushers and all the things that go on in a church like this. We need to remember this church that everything that we did today, every bit of it was for God. And God was worthy. We find this that David, in verse number 2, David plans with all his might. I think there's a great example there that David plans. Now I prepared with all my might for the house of my God. You know what I find here? That David wasn't willing to leave anything back when it came to the house of God. He was willing to spend of himself. He was willing to give of himself. He was willing to put all of it out there so that the work of God can get done. I believe this is a wonderful example for us as a church to take David's example there in verse number 2 and realize this, that if we're going to see God work in a great way, then we need to plan and with all of our might as David did, willing to give and willing to spend so God can be seen greater. He tells us in these next several verses here what he's giving and the amount of what he's giving. And tonight I don't seek to concentrate on the offering that he's giving. I want to look a little bit deeper into it and just see his heart of what David's doing here in 1 Chronicles. In verse number 6, the Bible says, "And the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, marked down their offered willingly." You know what I find here in verse number 6, that the Bible shows us this, that even though David set the plan out, even though Solomon was the one that God said, I'm going to use to build this temple, it wasn't done by one man alone. It involved others to accomplish the task. David did plan, but David wasn't the only one that gave. Solomon was chosen by God, but God didn't just use Solomon. We find in verse number 6 that David wasn't in it alone, that David wasn't the only one involved, that Solomon wasn't the only one involved. He was not alone. God put others in the plan to do the work. Now that's exciting for a church, I think, as we see that, because church isn't about one man or isn't about a small group of men, but it's about others willingly getting involved in the work of the Lord. We find this, the chief of the fathers of the princes of the tribes and the captains of thousands and captains of the hundreds, rulers of the king's work, they offered willingly. Others were willing to get involved in the work of the Lord. You know, that makes for an exciting place, isn't it? When others see that there's a plan, when others see that there's something to get involved in, here we find in verse number 6 that David didn't have to do it alone, that Solomon didn't have to do this alone, but others were willing to do the work of the Lord. You see, because it's not for man in verse number 1, it's for the Lord, more than just one can get involved. You know, church, I firmly believe this, that God puts people in a church. In every single specific individual person that he puts there for a reason. Everybody has a part. You know, one of the greatest things about a church is everyone can be different, but everyone has a part. Everyone's part may be different, but everyone's part is important. Everyone might have a different talent and a different gift and do something different in the church, but every single person's involvement is important because it's not about man, it's about the Lord. And David preferenced this in verse number 1. He wanted everyone to see that God had chosen Solomon to do this work, but it's not about Solomon. The work wasn't for Solomon. The work was not to glorify Solomon, but the work was for the Lord. And in verse number 6, we see a multitude of people getting involved and God using all kinds of different people to get involved in his work. You know, as we see David now beginning to do the work, I want us to look one verse up here in verse number 5. The last part of this verse, the Bible says this, and who then is willing, he's asking this question, to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? David challenged the people to declare their involvement. David said this, I want us to see in the beginning of verse number 5, the gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and all the manner of work to be done by the hand. You know what David was saying? This, all the gold is going to be there, all the silver is going to be there, and all the talent is going to be there. The people that are needed are all going to be there. Now who's going to step up and do the work? You know what I firmly believe in a church? That everything a church needs, God puts into that church. God puts all the resources into that church. God puts all the talent into that church. He puts all the gifts and the people in that church. God uses his people to accomplish the work of the church. I don't believe the church is ever lacking for what it needs. I think that sometimes what's lacking are the people that are there to get involved and do the work of the Lord. We don't need outside things in order for the church to be successful. We need God's help in order for the church to be successful. And God places within that place people with talents and gifts to do the work that he calls that church to do. You know, at times, if we're not careful, we could say, boy, we could do this or do that if only we had this, or we could be like another church only if we had what they had, and if we had their facilities, or we had their numbers, or we had their finances. And we look around and we say, boy, what we could do if we could have something else. And church, I don't believe that we should ever look around and say we could do this by comparing ourselves to someone else or saying that if we only had this, we could do more. I believe that everything a church needs is already there at that church. God has placed those people there with gifts and with talents and with abilities. And what needs to happen is they need to consecrate themselves and say this, the work of the Lord is great. The work of the Lord is for the Lord. And I am going to be willing to get involved in what God is desiring to do in his local church. You know, if there's ever a need that the church has, I believe this, that God has already supplied that need through the people of his church. If there's ever a work that needs to be done, if God is wanting a church to do a work that God has already placed the people, he will supply the needs for that work to be done. You see, in order for this place to be built here in 1 Chronicles 29, what needed to happen was this. There needed to be a consecration of the people to do the work of the Lord. He says everything is set, the gold, the silver, all the manner of the work that needs to be done. It's all set, and will you this day consecrate your service unto the Lord? In order for the work to be done, consecration of the work must be made. In order for the glory of the Lord to fill this house, the people must have a mind to work. I want us to see, if you would please also, in the same very verse, that God already prepared the people for the work. He's already prepared the people. The talent's already been given. The gifts have already been given. Those that were going to work with gold have already had that talent. Those that would be working with silver already have that talent. Those that are working with stone already have that talent. Every so often my wife and I will watch HGTV and we'll see some things. And I know, she doesn't say it out loud, but I know she looks at me and she says, I wish you could be like that. I wish you could fix things like that. You know, I say, well, if I only had the tools, the problem is this, I'd have the tools and I still couldn't do the work. She likes to watch those shows, and it's amazing in just 30 minutes how they can restore an entire house. I mean, it's amazing how they do this. They go to work and they make something that wasn't so beautiful, beautiful. The talent is there. It's amazing what people could do with wood. It's amazing what people could do with metals. It's just amazing how people have the mind to do those things. You know, sometimes in the church, it's the same way. It's amazing that God gives some people the gift to teach. Sitting underneath of somebody, you say, boy, I wish I could teach like that. God gives other people a gift to sing. And man, there's many a times I just listen to people sing and I say to myself, boy, I wish I could sing like that. Others have a gift of serving and a gift in so many different areas that are using in a church. And we look around a church like this and we see so many people. You know what? God is desiring for us to use those gifts, and God is desiring for us to use those talents that He has given us so that He receives glory in His church. You know, when this temple is going to be built, you know what I find in 1 Chronicles chapter 29? Nothing was lacking. Nothing. All the things necessary to build had been supplied. All right, so we got a pile of gold. What are we going to do with it? God says, you know what? I got somebody that's talented and working with gold. All right, we got a pile of silver. What are we going to do with it? And God says, I've got somebody talented that I've given talent. They're going to work with the silver. All right, I've got stones. What are we going to do with it? I've got somebody talented and working with stones. In every area that was needed to build the temple, God had somebody already planned and already gifted and already talented to do the work. There was nothing lacking for the work to be done. There wasn't a plan that was lacking. There wasn't a leader that was lacking. There was not a resources that were lacking. There was not a location that was lacking. There was not talent that was lacking. There was nothing that was lacking. And David said, okay, I stand before you now. And who is willing to get involved and use what God has already given so the temple can be built? And he challenges the people. He challenges them to get involved. You see, we find here in 1 Chronicles 29, the plan is set. The plan must be made. We find here in verse number 6 that the people, after they've heard, they've been challenged to get involved. He says, who's going to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? And all the people gather together, and the Bible says they offered willingly. They willingly got involved. And in order for us to see God bless, in order for us to see God help our church and move forward, we need to realize this, that a plan must be set, but the people must get involved in the work. Beginning of January, I laid out some things that I believe our church needs to do in order for us to continue to reach people. Some of the things might not necessarily seem like they were to reach people. Some of the things were there for us to get involved in the work of the Lord. One of the things that I had mentioned is, I believe this, on a Sunday night, we need to have something for our younger children to be involved in. I mean, I have she just turned 5 now. I think I've already put her to sleep. Amen. But there are some things, there are some young children that are in our church that I believe it would not only help them, it would help their parents. And I said, church, I'd love for us to have a class for 4 and 5-year-olds and mention that. And I had a lady come to me and just not been here very long and hasn't been her church home very long, and came here to live with her daughter for a period of time, I think, while she was having some surgery done. And she sat in my office and she said, I'm older. I'm not quite sure what I could do, but I'd love to be involved in something like that, teaching on Sunday evenings. You know, it was so exciting to say to her, you know, age doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter how old somebody was. Our church isn't just for young people. Our church isn't for older people. Our church is for everybody, because God has put our church, the people here in this church, for a specific reason. It was so exciting to sit across from somebody and her say, I want to get busy in the work of the Lord. And I said, now what have you done? And she gives me her story about how her husband was killed in a car accident years ago, and it caused her to go back to work. And she went back to work, and guess what she had to work with? 4 and 5-year-olds, preschool children. God moves her from the South and moves her up to Ohio. And you know what He has waiting for her in her church in Ohio? A need for someone to work with children. God doesn't make mistakes. God knows what He's doing. You see, God puts the people in His church, just the people He needs to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Starting in March, what we'd like to do on Sunday evenings is offer a preschool class for 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds or kindergarten students so they could be in a class and they could be learning Bible verses and singing to their Lord and learning things about the Bible, and parents to be able to sit in the auditorium and not have to spend the time dealing with their young children, but they could listen attentively and be involved in what God is doing in the church, in the auditorium, and their children could be in a place where they're being taught. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There's always something for everyone to do in the house of God. You see, people need to get involved. We're going to have a guest service meeting next Sunday after the second service, and we're going to give you lunch and give you some vision and lay out some things where you can get involved. In church, we need people to get involved. Friendly people, smiling people with a warm handshake and a friendly smile that stand at the doors and help people find their place here in this church. You say, I can't teach and I can't sing and I'm not quite sure what I can do. If you can stand there and be friendly and show love to people and help people get from point A to point B, you can be involved in something that would cause a guest or a new member to find their place here in this church. I've had several families since I announced that in the beginning of last month, several families wanting to get involved and desiring to get involved and eager to get involved and saying, we need to get started with this ministry. We need to make a plan. You say it's going to take a lot of work. On Christmas Eve, we had people everywhere. We had people at doors and through the lobby. And you know what it showed me on Christmas Eve? That it can be done, and God used His people to accomplish it. Every single person can find something in the house of God to contribute to put their talents toward, to put their gifts toward, so that what? So that God is seen greater. We find, I want you to see in verse number 9, what happens? What's the response? What is the response of a plan being laid out? What is the response of David giving and the people saying, I want to get involved and I want to give willingly. I want to be involved in the work in verse number 6. What's the response? I want you to see the response of the people in verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly. Because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. I want you to see in verse number 9, when the plan is set, when the people get involved, there's rejoicing with God's people. I touched on this morning, and I'll tell you, I'm so burdened about this. I believe this, the world needs to see God's people different. The world needs to see that God's people, there's different about God's people. There's joy in God's people. There's rejoicing in God's people. There's love in God's people. They need to see that God's people are different in this world. And here we find that the people get involved in the work of the Lord. They weren't doing this work before, but David said, here's a plan. Here's my desire. And God says, I want this to happen, and I want Solomon to lead it, and I want the people to get behind it. And the resources were there, and the talent was there, and the people were there. And they said, we're going to get involved in the work of the Lord. And what happens when people give themselves and consecrate themselves and say, I'm going to use my talents, I'm going to use my gifts, I'm going to use my ability for the work of the Lord? What happens? The people rejoice. Church, I want to submit this to you tonight. I believe this. There is great joy in serving the Lord. A Christian that's not serving is lacking and losing out on something. Once we're saved, there's a purpose for us in our life.
It's not for us, all right, we get saved and we just continue on our lonely path and our path through life. No, we get saved and God says, I got a work for you to do. I've got a plan for you to do. You are now a something specific that I've given you to bring glory to and honor to my name. You know, from the time that we're saved, there's something that every one of us specifically ought to be doing that God says, I've given you gifts. I've given you talents. I've given you a place to serve. And our lives now ought to be serving and bring glory to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when somebody commits and consecrates themselves to serving in the work of the Lord, there's joy that you can't have any other way. No amount of possessions will give you joy. No amount of things will give you joy. There's no other satisfaction you can get any other way than getting involved in the work of the Lord. And we find here in verse number 9, the people rejoiced. Why did they rejoice? Because they offered willingly. They said, we'll give of our time. We'll give of our talents. We'll give of our resources. We'll give. And when they gave, when they said, I'll consecrate myself, I will get involved in the work, great joy came to the people. The people rejoiced. What happens? Look with me in verse number 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our fathers forever and ever. You know, sometimes we pray, Lord, we want you to bless us. I pray often, Lord, as we leave here, would you send us away with your blessing? And I'll ask the Lord's blessing on this situation or that situation. You know what happens here in verse number 10, I believe it was? The Lord was blessed. You know, Christian, we're constantly asking the Lord to bless us, aren't we? We're asking the Lord to bless our homes and bless our marriage and bless our finance and bless our work and bless these things and bless our church. We're constantly saying, Lord, bless what I'm involved in. You know what happens here when the plan was set and when the people got involved, the people began to have joy and rejoice in what God was doing. God got blessed. And church, we need to be careful that we don't gather so that we receive blessings. We need to be careful that we don't serve so that we receive blessings. There's many that'll teach, you know, if you just serve the Lord, then you're gonna get prosperity, this prosperity gospel. That's not the case. We don't serve the Lord so that we get. We don't trust the Lord so that we get. We don't get involved in the Lord's work so that we get. What we find here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, that the people got involved in the work of the Lord. So God was blessed. He received the glory. Oh, church, it'd be a wonderful time if the people of God came together, not because of who they are, not so that they could get, not so that they could gain, not so that our lives would be better, so that Jesus Christ, He was blessed and God was blessed. The Father was blessed and all glory and all honor and all praise went to the God to whom it was due. Are you serving like that? Is your life being lived in such a way where He is receiving glory and honor? Are you living in such a way and serving in such a way? Is your life spent in such a way where God is being blessed? I want you to see in verse number 23, the same chapter. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, his father, and prospered. And all of Israel obeyed him. Do you know, church, there's a future for us to consider. David wasn't going to build the temple. But David said, I'm going to set a plan. David wasn't going to build a temple, but David said, I'm going to give him my resources. David wasn't going to build the temple. David wasn't going to be there. Somebody else was going to be sitting in his throne. Somebody else was going to be sitting there reigning over his kingdom. David was not going to be there, but David realized this: I've got to set things in order. I've got to give of myself. I need to get others involved because there is going to be a future for us to consider. You know, as a dad, I am constantly aware that we don't need this church for this generation. We need it for the next one as well. One of the things that excited our church, our family about the Lord working and moving us here was the fact that there were young people, young families, children, and teenagers. And church, we need to realize this. There's a future that we need to care for. There's children that are coming up behind us, and there needs to be a place set for them. You say, you know what, I'm getting a little bit older, and I've done all those things before. I'm not quite sure I want to get involved. I'm not quite sure I have the energy. I'm not quite sure that I want to sacrifice my time. I want to submit this to you. You need to consider the fact that there's a future coming behind you, and they need for us to sacrifice. They need for us to give. They need for us to get involved. They need for us to teach. They need for us to sing. They need for us to greet. They need for us to usher. They need to see somebody setting an example. They need to see the house of God prepared. They need to see that a plan has been set. They need to see that there are people that are sacrificing. They need to see there's people getting involved. Why? Because there's a future that we need to consider. There's teenagers right now being taught. And we've got to work. So there's a ministry and there's a church for them to be involved in. There's 4 and 5 year olds that'll be taught on Sunday evenings. For what reason? Because we need to teach them and train them because there's a work of God one day for them to be involved in. In April, I believe it is going to be, I asked Pastor Paul, I said, I want to do a youth takeover night. I want the teens to come in and sing, and I want them to usher, and I want them to lead music, and I want them to do the specials, and I want them to oversee the sound booth, and I want them to receive the offering. I want them involved in every aspect of our church. If there's something to do, I want our teens to be involved that night. Why? Because I want them to know that we love them and we want to invest in them, and there's a future for them here at this church. Praying earnestly that God, please give us a right man for our children's pastor. You say, why do we need a children's pastor? Because we have a future to invest in here in this church. Our young people are important. David said about Solomon, he's young and the work is great. He's young and tender, the work is great. But we need to remember this, that what we're doing, it's for the Lord. And how we serve, it's for the Lord. And how we get involved, it's for the Lord. And we need to remember this, though, that there's a future behind us that needs a church like this. And it caused others to be involved in the work of the Lord. The future is considered. There's some things here, church, I want us to be praying on. March 13th, it's just a few weeks away here in an evening service. We're going to come in and sing a few songs, and we're going to have a Bible study quickly on the topic of Christian fellowship, the need of fellowship. And then after about 45 minutes, we're going to break up. We're going to go into the gymnasium, and I'm going to encourage us just to fellowship together. I believe fellowship is important to the church. How many of you say this? You have enough fellowship, you don't need any more. Anyone like that? You're spent. You want to give any more time to anybody else. How many of you would say this? You enjoy fellowship and then we need more of it. Anyone like that? On March 13th, I want you to write that date down. I want you to invite others, and I want you to be here for the evening service, and we're going to come in and sing a few songs. We're going to gather around God's Word, and then we're going to break up, and we're going to go into the gym. We're just going to enjoy food and fellowship and being around each other's company. I hope you'll stay for that. Easter's coming up in church. We need you praying for that. There's going to be 3 times in the morning. There'll be a 7:30 sunrise service. There'll be a 9:30 service. There's a 10:50 service. And we're going to need people that are willing to stand and help and greet and be involved in the guests that are going to be here. Will you consecrate yourself and say, I want to be involved in the work of the Lord? I want to be involved in meeting and greeting and helping meeting the needs of people. I'm going to use my talents and use my service so that God receives glory. I'm excited about this upcoming event, Homecoming. Homecoming will not be successful, church, unless you get involved in it. Because homecoming is not going to be a great outreach day. Homecoming is going to be a day where we invite people that have been here before in our family from the past. Maybe find some folks that aren't in church right now and try to reach out to them and use this as a reason to invite them back to church. Homecoming will be successful if every member gets involved in homecoming. We're going to do this on Homecoming Sunday, which is April 10th. April 10th is homecoming. We're just going to have one service that day. 10 o'clock. You say, where are we going to put everybody? We've got a plan. All the teenagers are going to go into the youth auditorium. And so 7th through 12th grade, they'll have a service at 10 o'clock with themselves. And we're going to need some people to get involved in a children's church 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. You say, are you doing this on purpose to get people involved so maybe we start a 4th, 5th, and 6th grade junior church on Sunday? Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. But we need some folks in our church that'll say, we'll be involved in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. The Kaisers run the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd grade children's church. Is that right, Brother Kaiser? And so they'll have all the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd grade. We've already got nurseries for the younger children and babies and infants and toddlers. And all the children will go there. The 1st through 3rd grade will go to their children's church. 4th, 5th, and 6th grade will have a great, exciting children's church that day. All the teens will be in teen church. And that'll make room for all the adults to be here in the auditorium so that we could fill this auditorium up at 10 o'clock. And after that service, we're going to go into the gymnasium. We're going to have lunch, and lunch will be supplied for everyone in fellowship. People can talk about God's blessings. People can talk about what God has done, and we can bless God. I've asked Pastor Tim Womack to come back and preach, and he's going to agree to preach. And I believe his daughter, if he can work it out, is going to come and sing, and we'll still have a little special music. And I asked Pastor Dan to put some groups together that have maybe sang in the past, and we're just going to have a great homecoming service, lunch together. After that lunch, about 1:30, instead of having a 6 o'clock evening service, we're going to push that back to an afternoon service, and we're just going to stay right here and have a 1:30 afternoon service and all come back into the auditorium and gather around and hear preaching once again and singing once again and just bless God for who He is. April 10th, 10 o'clock service, 11:30 lunch, and then a 1:30 afternoon service. Next month, ladies, yesterday we had 68 men show up for breakfast yesterday. That's a lot of men. One of the ladies said to one of our deacons on the way out last week, we like breakfast too. So he came to me and said, you know, our ladies like breakfast too. And so we're going to have breakfast instead of men. We're going to take a month off, and we're going to have breakfast for our ladies next month. And we're going to move it from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, ladies. Yes. Men, you can come. If you want to come and eat, you can eat when the ladies are done, but you can come and serve our ladies. The following month, men, 2 months from now, I want you to really consider this for our breakfast that we have the following month, April, I believe it would be. Men, let's utilize that and use that as an outreach and invite a friend, invite a coworker, invite somebody that maybe we can't get into church. Let's invite them. In April be a month of a breakfast, men, that we have someone there, a guest with us that maybe needs to be saved, and we'll have a place packed out with family and friends and coworkers and neighbors. And we'll give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come together and we'll bless God. Now, ladies, we've got something really special for you planned. Our staff wives met yesterday and began to put some plan together for this. On Mother's Day, we have a special service. So we need homecoming to go well because we're going to try something again on Mother's Day. On Mother's Day, we're going to have one service, 10 o'clock service. All the men will be in here. All the ladies are going to be in the gymnasium. Now, we're not going to call a Mother's Day brunch because we realize this, somebody's maybe lost their mom and it's a difficult day. We realize this, that maybe there's some ladies that would like to have children and God's just not allowed that. So we're just going to have a ladies' brunch. And all the ladies are going to go into the gymnasium, and all the men will be in here worshiping and smelling your food, and all the men will come together. We're going to bless God. All the ladies are going to be in the gymnasium, and we'll have a brunch supplied for them, and special music supplied for them, and a guest speaker supplied for them, and the ladies will just have a wonderful day, a Mother's Day. One service, though. So we can do that one service as long as we have people in different locations. We just want to bring people together. We've got many of activities planned now through the spring up into the summertime and then Vacation Bible School. And I won't even go with all the activities we have during the summer. But these things are things that we're planning and preparing, and we need to get involved so God can be blessed. If you're here in our church and you say, I'm not quite sure what I can do, you've just not asked the right people. How are we going to accomplish this? Church, I believe this, in order for us to continue to move forward as a church, we must grow. In order for that to happen, others must get involved. We need to make sure there's a plan set. We need to make sure that there's goals that are set. We need to be sure that everything we do brings honor and glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. In church, our soul winning must be greater. We need to be careful that we don't get into a rut. We need to be careful that we just don't get into a place of ease where we can just have church and enjoy church. We need to realize this, that our soul winning needs to become greater. You know what my fear sometimes is becoming a busy church? We lose focus of what we're here for. Fellowship is vitally important. Getting together and learning and teaching and using our talents is vitally important. But a church is a living organism. It's a growing organism. It's got to be reproducing itself. Souls need to be saved. The gospel needs to go forth. Why are we going to come together and have these activities? Why do we get together and build? Why does the temple need to be built? Why is the resources need to be given? Why are the people to get involved? Because God's word needs to be proclaimed. Church, we gather together. We come together. We set a plan in place. We give of our talents. We consecrate ourselves. We willingly get involved and we rejoice and God is blessed. And we do these things for one reason, and that's for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forth. I am a political junkie. I have found myself watching the news and just getting involved in the things probably a little bit too much. Do you know what the hope for this country is? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. The hope for this nation is Jesus Christ. Do you know what the hope for this community is? Jesus Christ. And God has placed Monclova Road Baptist Church right here in the middle of a community that needs Jesus. Church, we can't be inward focused. We can't be self-centered and self-serving. We have got to understand this. We exist so that others have an opportunity to know our Jesus. There's so many things that take place, and I rehearsed these things last week. Tomorrow night, we'll begin a session of grief share. It's for helping hurting people, but we use the Word of God to help them. Several weeks ago, Bob was one of the ones that came, and Bob's excited now. He's going through discipleship. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He got into baptism, working on baptism. You know, in Tuesdays, we have a ministry that we could help those that maybe are addicted to food or addicted to not, maybe not caring for their bodies like we should. And that is a great resource. It's not just for people to lose weight. It's for people to use the Word of God to help them. And there will be people that come that need to be saved. There'll be people that come that need Christ. We'll use every opportunity we can to point them to Jesus Christ. At the same time on Tuesday, there's a group of men that gather and are studying verse by verse through the Word of God, and what a wonderful thing that is. Gather every Tuesday night at 6:45 to learn the Word of God. Wednesday, there's Awana and there's youth group and there's so many exciting things. A Bible study that takes place, a 1 o'clock service and so many things that take place on a Wednesday here. For what reason? To show people in the Word of God how to be saved, how to live this Christian life. There's Reform is Unanimous that takes place on Friday, and I'm sure I'm missing some things that take place, and ladies' Bible studies that take place on Thursday evenings and Friday's afternoon. Another ladies' Bible study that's going to be beginning on Thursday mornings here coming up in just a few weeks. All of these things, we're using the Word of God to help people. We can't lose focus, church. Our responsibility is to take the gospel into this world and preach it to every living creature. Why should we get involved? Because people are still dying, and people are spending eternity in a devil's hell, and they need Jesus. It is our responsibility to go and tell. Church, will you consecrate yourself to be involved in the work of the Lord till Jesus Christ comes? It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter what your degree is in. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter what you can do or you can't do. If you are willing to use what God has given you, will you get involved?